Hot round! Red 7, Red 7, Red 7! Don!
What?
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
I call it the annexation of Puerto Rico.
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run downfield and act like I'm lost is gonna work, do you?
Booyah! That's what we call a sack lunch!
Nom, 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 nom.
Get me the ball.
You need the ball.
Get me the ball.
Get me the ball.
That's gonna make the difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying.
Welcome in to 11 Personnel, episode 97. I'm Nick Roush. He's Adam Luckett. We are approaching episode 100 in the offseason, and I think the way we're timing this out, we'll probably get episode 100 right around camp. I guess it won't technically. It'd probably be closer to media days. Even nevertheless, we're getting close, Luckett. We're almost there.
If we keep going every week, episode 100 would be the week of June 21st.
Right when I'm going on vacation.
So if we pushed it after your vacation, then we'd be looking at 4th of July week.
Maybe we can do something special. We can get some guests or something like that, you know, to try to beef it up, maybe make it a little bit evergreen or something like that. We'll figure something out. But nevertheless, we're rocking. We're rolling. There's much to discuss. Month of June, like it, the recruiting floodgates have opened. The dead period is dead. D-E-D, dead. See you later. Stupid, no good for nothing visiting recruiting.
Did you just spell dead, D-E-D?
That's how you spell it, Luckett.
Oh, okay.
It's a joke, yeah.
I get it now.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, 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 very good, mature humor for there. But yeah, I have to say on this, the dead period, like it did kind of catch me by surprise just of like, hey, like this next month is going to be bonkers for them just with all trying to pack in pretty much 3 months, 4 months full of work kind of in 1 month here before the season gets going.
Yeah, it's a little weird too in how uneventful it's been. So
yeah, from Kentucky side for sure.
Well, I think part of it was that it ended on the day after Memorial Day. So you aren't going to – a lot of kids, they're on vacation and stuff still, you know, so you're not going to try to get them on campus right away. I know Ohio State had a couple of their commits on campus on day one, just as kind of a flex. Florida State, I'll give Norvell credit. That was kind of cool. They did a Midnight Madness of sorts. It was a throwback to old school basketball days.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a good idea when I saw that.
Yeah, and the way, I mean, kind of having everybody standing outside by a Bobby Bowden statue before, all right, now you can come in. Like, that's just kind of, it makes it feel a little more special if you're a part of that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think Kentucky, like, I know Clemson had media at the camp today. Ohio State had media at their camp today, had big events. I know Kentucky, they're having a big one on Sunday. But more so for this summer, it's not really about the 2022 class. Obviously, they're trying to close strong on that class. But a lot of this is getting your evaluations for 23 and 24.
Oh, yeah.
Because they haven't really had those kids on campus at all. Last summer, they would have had those kids on campus in a usual year. Whereas these 2022 kids, they've had most of these guys on campus. So they had probably a good – amount of names on the board before the pandemic even struck for the 2022 class.
Right, right, right.
So these camps it's a lot about getting the evaluations done for these future guys. And now, as Zach reported earlier this week, Michael Williams is going to come at some point this month for a visit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big name I think everybody's kind of paying attention to at the moment.
Right,
but,
right.
But for most cases, this week, these next 2 weeks is really about 23, 24 classes.
Yeah, and I forget if it was Summerall or if it was Stoops, but they talked about, I mean, of all of the things they missed, this evaluation portion of it was the biggest. So I guess they're just
watching huddle like us.
Right. So you kind of think of it in twofold. on one hand, you have your upcoming class. So with that addition of Mikel Williams coming to campus at the end of the month, I believe Travion Longmire's that weekend. That feels like they're going to try to get all the big dogs on campus that weekend. Your committed guys.
Dane Key would probably be that same weekend, I would imagine.
Yeah, Keontae Goodwin, you know. I would imagine, like you said, that's going to be there. All right, let's kind of get everybody together to kind of galvanize relationships. And you're not locking up your class, but that goes a long way into solidifying what you've already started. And then, like you said, the 23 guys, are right up there. There's one guy, AJ Hoffler, that I believe is coming in this weekend, who's a four-star edge. There's another guy who's actually has been to campus, and I actually remember him as a true freshman. I mean, he was that good. Keldrick Falk, who's a DMV kid, who's one of those edge guys that White's been working on for quite some time. So guys like that, and maybe you saw them a little bit, and now you're ready to see how they develop and kind of cultivate that relationship.
What happens at this time usually is the bus tours. Like, kids will get on buses with their high school or guys in their region, and they'll just, you know, stop at a bunch of places throughout a week or whatnot. And that's really what this is about. And then when the season comes, that's when you'll get, I guess, more specific about the guys you're getting on campus. Right now, it's just really, it's about evaluations, getting these guys to work out for you to see if you want to offer them or whatnot.
Right. Now, and to put what we're saying, which is kind of abstract concepts of what we're talking about, to put it into simple dollars and cents, the last time they held these camps, their big Friday night camp, Drew Phillips was there. He was a UK commit. Jordan Watkins was on the other side, and Josh Meekins was there, two kids from Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recall if Watkins was committed, if he had an offer at the time.
I think it came right after that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
I think he committed right after that.
So essentially, they bring in Phillips, and of course, you know, some of the, like, Bo Allen was there hanging out. They've got some other, John Young was there. And I think that's whenever they got a commitment from that Torrance Davis kid as well that weekend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but him and McLean popped around the same time that summer, I remember. And I think McLean was maybe at one of those camps.
They were kind of Fast and Furious too. And Derek Jackson was one during the week, which was odd because you usually don't get the kind of big kids that are actually being recruited during the week. But on that Friday night, they essentially had Drew Phillips going up against Watkins, against Meekins, or having Meekins go up against Watkins the entire night, and they had Allen throw into them. They're like, all right, well, let's see if these kids, we've seen it on film, they're okay, but how good are they against guys like, we know Phillips is an SEC caliber athlete. How do they stack up to him? And Watkins had enough. Meekins did not. Meekins did not get an offer. Watkins did. He committed, then decommitted, and it's been kind of a thing. But Watkins at least showed at that camp that he's got it. Meekins did not. Now they're both at Louisville. But that's kind of in the most – I don't think we're going to get an instance of that this year, Luckett, where there's – especially in 2022. But that's kind of what's on the line, because aside from flying a helicopter to watch Damian Harris go play, you don't really get to see these kids in person. And how many, we can watch all the huddle we want. You can't really truly – judge their speed, their burst, and even their size on film until you kind of see it in person.
More so than anything, you get to see them against peers. A lot of time in high school, they're not really playing against athletic peers. So you get to see guys similar shape, sizes, speed, talent level, and to see how they do, especially in a competition phase. Obviously, some positions are easier than others and all this.
Right,
You know, especially, trench play is not the same.
Especially the offensive and defensive line.
Right.
Jeff Schwartz retweets one of those. Just terrible. Rivals will put out a highlight video of an offensive lineman just tackling a guy. And Jeff Schwartz will just tear him apart.
Right.
It's going to happen once a week.
And those drills, too. You go one-on-one, but if you're an interior defensive lineman,
You're never one-on-one.
You're never really one-on-one. You're bumping into somebody, or, you know what I'm saying? So, like, those drills can be very – and they're unrealistic, and I believe they're tilted to the defense too.
Mm-hmm.
Just like it's obvious pass rush situation. They're letting everybody go one-on-one in space. That's not the time for I think for that argument. But yeah, I mean, it's just a chance for you to get to see them and heights and weights, and you get times on them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true.
To see if a guy who is he really 6'2", you know, all that. What's his weight? Is he really 285 or is he up to 330?
Right, right. Is he
all that stuff? Lazy, and you get to see how they how they jive with people in your organization.
There's certainly an aspect of let's run this guy through the drills and see if he thinks he's Broadway Joe Namath out there, too cool for school, or is this a dude who wants to get to work? And to continue to use my Drew Phillips example, dude was just like in a wife beater, just cool, calm, cold. I mean, didn't even say a word, was just piercing his eyes through his opponent's soul the entire time. It's like, all right, this guy, you know, he's kind of got it. And it'll be different in different cases. I remember, there was one of those groups from Florida. This kid was, I have no idea where he ended up. And he had some offers, but he was talking so much trash to John Young on behalf of a guy that played with him. And this kid's just over there in like his sliders because he was way too cool to, he was too good for the camp, even though like you're not getting an offer from SEC. It's kind of funny to see all this stuff works like it. And I'm not sure, have you attended one of these camps before? Would this be your first time? I have not.
Yes. Sunday, June 6th will be my first time at a recruiting camp per se.
As a heads up to all of you all, the plan is to record Sunday night, drop some information Monday morning on the podcast, but listener beware, we might not get anything.
Yeah.
So as much as people hate on AAU, everything's kind of gone that route and how people were exposed to college athletics, at least in the AAU route, you get names, you get numbers, you get teams, you get to talk to them. So we cannot speak to any recruits on campus in any official capacity. Those are against the rules. We're going to be playing the
guess who it is game.
Yeah. Who's that over there? You kind of Google looking for faces for some kid from Ohio. It can be a real mess. So you never know what you're going to get. But hey, it's fun. It's something new. We haven't done this in a long time. And hell, I was at one of those basketball camps this week. It's just kind of fun to be there.
It'd just
kind
be
of
fun to get out or anything. Right.
So that's kind of the plan. Look, do you have any, is there anything in particular you're looking forward to?
I would say to see maybe some of the new coaches actually get out there and coach a little bit. Because we really haven't seen them at all. So maybe see some instruction, how they do stuff.
Oh, Wolford? I mean,
yeah.
Wolf, I'm sure he's just getting after it. Javon Bonite, what's his deal? I've spoken to him once when he got hired. That's it.
Right.
No idea. And then we could have a new secondaries coach by then too, by the name of Chris Collins.
Mm-hmm. If they'll announce it, I mean, we thought it would happen. What we say before Memorial Day, I think that was our stance, our line in the sand.
That was our Wednesday
after.
Yeah. Yeah. The Wednesday after seemed, I would think that you would just want to get it over with before camps because the coaches are going to be busy. You don't want to have them take, an hour out of their day to do media junk,
Or they could drop it and not, who knows? I don't know.
Let it go with the wind. But Chris Collins, Bruce Feldman reported that he's a front runner for the job, a.k.a. it's – nothing, just all we're waiting for is the fat lady to sing. And as we talked about previously, this was a poorly timed kind of deal where your pool of candidates is incredibly limited. Stoops had a connection to a guy that's now with the Rams, and that fell through. They interviewed another round of candidates, and Collins sounds like the man for the job. He's an up and comer. He's only been coaching about 6 years, so he's probably 30.
Yeah, I think about 33 or so, 33, 34.
Yeah, he's a young guy.
He graduated from college in 2010.
Okay, yeah.
So that would put him 06 graduating high school class. So that would make him a year older than me. So you're looking at 33, 34.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds about right.
Unless he was a super senior.
Well, you know.
You never know.
Been there, done that. But he started – so he went to college at Western Carolina. Mm-hmm. I forget his stop in between, but that was – his App State, I believe. He was GA.
Yeah.
Goes to West.
Right. He graduates from Western Carolina, becomes a student assistant in 2010. And then was like a defensive assistant in 2011, 2012. So I guess kind of like a off-field role. And then he went to Catawba College, which is a D2 school for 2 years, 13, 14. And then he landed that graduate assistant job you were late to in 2015 at App State.
And then Western Carolina, and then
mm-hmm.
Georgia State, where he started as just the DB's coach. He's been the recruiting coordinator for the last 3 years. He didn't technically get their highest rated recruiting class ever, but got a high average star rating. He's recruited in the state of Georgia that Kentucky's hit hard recently. And he pulled some kids from Carolina and Florida as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Georgia State job, it's kind of like a job. They upgraded facilities. They took over Turner Field, the old Brave Stadium, and made it a football stadium. It looks kind of cool if you want to Google Georgia State Turner Field.
They haven't had the Waffle House there.
I'm sure as a concession stand.
I hope they do. You can't advertise building a Waffle House at Turner Field,
right,
and just abandon it because the Braves left. You can still serve waffles on Saturdays in the fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't see why not. So Collins, so they haven't really, like, the sell would be like, oh, you're in Metro Atlanta, you should be able to recruit Atlanta for some guys. But they really haven't had a ton of success in Atlanta. They've really gotten into South Florida and the Carolinas. Their head coach was South Carolina's offensive line coach. So they always had connections there. But Collins was one of their best recruiters. He's got 22 commitments as a Georgia State assistant, everywhere from the Carolinas to Miami area, Metro Atlanta. And these are all, I think, areas Kentucky has dabbled in the past, obviously. Now, we'll see how...
Without a ton of success.
Right. We'll see how the plan will be for him. You have to think they want somebody in Nashville for sure. Because that seems like a new focus. Right. It seems like a new focus area. And then Detroit, I mean, I don't know if they're willing to succeed... or secede that area right now to just, you know, wave the white towel. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what they'll do with him. This flexibility, I think he's shown on the recruiting trail, being able to get in different areas. That may be a place where they can, hey, we'll just throw him in Nashville and let him, you know, work a year or so and build some relationships and all that. But he's never been at this level. So you just don't know. Nope. He never played at this level. He's never coached at this level. So we'll see. Like Feldman said, he said he was pretty impressive in the interview process. I'm assuming that meant like he probably blew Kentucky away when they met with him face to face.
Yeah, and the thing too, like it. I mean, I want to have some sort of take right now. Collins, great hire. Bad. I can't.
Yeah.
because. I mean, Stoops has a pretty good track record of young guys, but like this young Georgia State assistant kind of comes from out of nowhere. And I mean, they've been good in the Fun Belt. They're 2-1 bowl games since he's been there. They beat Western in both postseason appearances, which is poor tops. But
culturally, Georgia State and Kentucky, I think, have some similarities. They're both places that don't have a lot of traditional success, but with the right recruiting plan, you can get talent there. The administration invested in a first-time head coach, invested in facilities, and they're winning from the inside out. They've built it from the inside out, run a 3-4 on defense similar to Kentucky. So I think just kind of – how they operate and go about their business, I think, will be similar. I think he probably fits in well with that. So really that, and I think the recruiting flexibility. But, yeah, you don't know. You just never been at this level. You know, it was a tough time to hire an assistant coach.
Mm-hmm.
It just is what it is. I mean, we'll see how it goes. He is young. So and he is coaching for a guy who was one of the best defensive back coaches in the country.
But so I think if there's two things that I'm like, well, this can't be bad because A, you don't have to spend a lot of money, and B, I trust Stoops in the secondary. So you can save that money for elsewhere when you're giving out raises next year or whatever it may be. But
you're I would think you're really investing, especially after you just promoted Bufano, who I think you probably were dependent on to be more coach than recruiter there in the secondary. I would imagine you're pretty invested in this new hire's recruiting potential.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably what you were looking for, mostly. And so we'll see. I mean, to get promoted to recruiting coordinator that fast at that young of an age, I think is probably a good sign.
Right.
And we'll just see, you know, you're stepping up in a competition and different league and all that. We'll see how that goes. But
he's got to be personable. You know, if he's a recruiting coordinator, then he apparently wows the guys in interviews.
Yeah, you would think so.
So, yeah, maybe he's a good enough personality to podcast. Maybe he can hang out with us. Well,
hopefully we get a media session with him. We still have not got Boo Knight in a media session.
I think we didn't get. Yeah, I guess we didn't. He came on the radio show once, but have not gotten Boo Knight in a media session. So, man, who knows? Who knows what's happening there? I do know though, Luckett, that we're only 2 weeks away from Father's Day. No, 3 weeks. Yeah, I got a little bit ahead of myself because it's going to be Sunday camp with KSR in the building at Kroger Field.
2 weeks from Sunday, right.
Then it's Father's Day, and the weather, it's warming up. It's terrible. Whether it's, you know, you have a dad bod or a six-pack, make sure your dad smelling nice and shade where it matters most. Make your dad proud this year and get him – and yourself, the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 and the Refined Cologne by Manscaped. The brand new Lawnmower 4.0 and Redefined Cologne is perfect for you and your dad in your life to complete your grooming game. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ROUSH at manscaped.com. Guys, the heat. We all know that Luckett and I, we're football weather fans. It's going to be nice and 50. You can stay cool. Now is not the time to be furry and sweaty and stinky. Manscaped, the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming, just dropped their Lawnmower 4.0. The fourth-generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their skin-safe technology. In addition to that, they've also have the Weed Whacker. Which the Weed Whacker, it's for nose and ear hair trimmer, and it's the best nose hair trimmer on the market. The perfect gift for your pops, because when you get a little bit older, you start getting ear hair popping up in weird places, the front everywhere of your nose, the outside of your ears. It's a mess. So cool down with Manscaped, the 4.0 lawnmower, the Weed Whacker, and try out their cologne too. It's incredible. Make you smell great this Father's Day season. If the old man is smelling a little funky, this cologne is a surefire way to change that and make him the talk of the summer. Man of the house deserve to smell like a king. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code ROUSH at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ROUSH, R-O-U-S-H. Don't forget that you came from your dad's balls this year. Show your original home some love with Manscaped. Now, this summer, it's, as we said at the top of the podcast, like it's been eventful, surprisingly. Oh, yeah. Right now, the college sports world is, its head is spinning because Coach K announced he's stepping down. So we have two, I don't know if Roy is top five in wins, but two top 10 wins college basketball coaches from the same state announcing their intentions to retire within months of one another. Look at this is, I don't think what's happening right now in college basketball where, you know, Boeheim, he's going to be out of there as soon as his kids are done. You know, Patino's kind of hanging in there as long as he can. You haven't really seen this that often where the old guard in college football kind of leaves all at once. And I've tried to come up with some examples, and Woody Hayes, he was out just a few years before Bear Bryant. Schimbeckler lasted about 10 years.
Punch the kid.
Yeah, yeah. He would have lasted long if he didn't punch that kid in the face. Joe Pa and Bowden were only a couple of years apart.
And Tressel went out around that same time, too, as Joe Pa.
Really? Really?
Forced out, yeah. He was forced out, I believe, the year before that the scandal hit light for Tattoo Gate.
Which was just really dumb.
You know? Like 2010. What was Joe Pa? 2011 was his last year?
Yeah. 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 But to have this kind of vacuum of power at once is shocking. And amid all of this, I mean, a lot of them, they're citing changes, you know. You've got the transfer portal. You've got Neil coming.
Right.
You know, I understand being in your mid to late 70s and you're like, I just don't feel like dealing with this anymore. Which leads me to Nick Saban. And this dude, it doesn't – I think that the NCAA could announce that now we're going to open up college athletics to 10-year-olds, and he would still find a way to win national championships. He does not seem like he's slowing down at all.
No signs of slowing down. Josh Pastner, won in the ACC tournament, set off an unbelievable chain of events. He wins the league. Roy just says, I'm out. Deuces. Chris Max, friend, mentor, colleague, 30 years, tries to extort money out of him in the university, and Chris Mack records the conversation.
Jesus.
Coach K resigns, or is, you know, we're going to get the farewell year, which is going to be exhausting.
Oh, God.
And then there was something else I found today I thought happened. But, yeah, shout out to Pastner, man, Captain Chaos.
ACC, it just means more. Yeah, or no, but SEC, but it means more.
The football one is interesting. Right now, the big one, you would say, is Saban. And I've kind of thought this in my head the last few months with all, like, the playoff talk and the fatigue and expansion. Like, how much better would everybody be if he just hung up his whistle?
Yeah, yeah. The thing that's different about football than basketball is basketball – is so dominated by the head coach. Obviously, you have your blue bloods, but the personalities of the coaches really make it. Whereas in college football, of course, the coaches kind of steal the show. But there it really is more about the programs.
Right.
The logos and the colors. You know, it feels like it pops a little bit more. And you also don't have guys just hanging around at the same spot for – I mean, Roy was there from 15. I mean, he's there 16 years. Kay's been
right,
there
almost 20.
30. I mean, you saw Bob Stoops. He lasted what? Was that 20? And that was
just about. Yeah, that was from 99, I believe, till
16.
So 17, 18, whatever that is. Which is
a lifetime.
Right.
you don't see that anymore. So this kind of phenomenon that's happening in college basketball, I don't know how the sport is going to weather it. I know that it's just that right now, like, we're at a point where college basketball has become a big event sport. It's NCAA tournament. It's Feast Week. It's Champions Classic. Maybe Championship Week, and maybe you get a good weekend out of it in February. But
its biggest strength is his biggest weakness. The tournament's awesome, but it turns the rest of the season into just whatever, you know, for everybody. No one really dives into it until then. So we'll see. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Coaches are the star. I think the coaches are the stars in both sports. They're just more roster turnover, I think, in basketball from a yearly basis. Like Alabama, you got to see Tua. Everybody talked about him as a true freshman. Then you got to see him for two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's true. You have build up for these players, and then they have, you know, Joe Burrow. You talked about him. Oh, this is a big transfer for LSU. He's going to change things. And then, boom, he has a big year. Justin Fields, obviously, Trevor Lawrence. You talk about him, but then you get to see him for a couple seasons.
Yeah, and the one thing, too, the the leashes are just a little bit shorter in college football, and the margin of error is just thinner.
Right.
But, you know, we don't need to get into it, but your point about the tournament, it's kind of familiar to the playoff, where it's like, don't put that playoff up, put that high on a pedestal.
Yeah.
Or else you, because right now, college football, great regular season. We're less than 100 days away. And, dude, Kirby Smart, that guy,
king of talent accumulation, man.
It ticks me off, man. And first off, so he adds Eric Gilbert, the tight end from LSU. Highest ranked tight end in
recruiting people considered him the best tight end that they've ever handicapped or came out of high school in the internet era.
Ever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he initially committed to Florida, correct? And then
he's got some grade issues going on. Just stopped going to class, I think, at LSU.
Oh, good for him.
So I don't know how they're going to figure that out. And so it looked like he was going to just stay at LSU for a while. Now he's going to Georgia. He's from Marietta, so Atlanta metro area. But yeah, I mean, we don't know about how that's going to work out.
But in theory, you're less than 100 days away from the season. You just lose George Pickens, who is your top wide receiver. You could use another pass catching threat. You go and get the highest ranked transfer by pretty much everybody except Pro Football Focus, who ranks cornerback Darian Kendrick, am I saying that right?
Yeah. Kendrick?
Yeah. Adds him to the roster.
Five-star, right.
Yeah.
He was all ACC at Clemson. Now, he did get kicked off Clemson's team. He was dismissed, pretty sure.
So, was he dismissed or?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he would. I'd have to look at the timeline. He was dismissed, and then he had an offseason arrest for a firearm possession, I think.
Ooh, okay. See, and when you do the quick scanning too, you're a little bit more plugged in. Like, they don't mention that in the quick articles about how good this guy is. But,
right. But hey, never, I mean, yeah, he was legit. I mean, he was a legit cornerback.
Yeah. They were talking about him being a potential first round draft pick. But, you know, so he at least gets guys that they got some stuff to work with. But man, that roster loaded. And the only thing that I can spin into a good thing, Luckett, is that really feels like the heat is on Kirby to win it all this year.
Yeah, that's what it's turning into. I had the same type of reaction yesterday. When you look at the roster, I broke it down. Like, I think it was 7 5 stars on defense and 6 5 stars on offense that could play for them this year.
That's crazy. And including a
quarterback,
plus a few
on the bench. Right.
Yeah, I mean,
and a proven quarterback, right.
The
no real staff turnover. He kept both coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Not a lot of competition in the East because Florida is just not going to be that great this year, and everybody else is kind of playing second fiddle. And then Auburn's down, so you kind of got an easy cross-divisional foe. Don't have to play Alabama. Really, you just beat Clemson, and you could be sitting in that driver's seat as the top-ranked team in the country for the entire season.
Right.
And – they've got that monkey on their back. What was it? 88? Not feel
80.
80. It's been a long time.
It has been. I'm pulling up their schedule right now. The opener against Clemson. But yeah, I mean, the 9 home games are Vanderbilt, Auburn, Florida, Tennessee, and Georgia Tech. Feels like they're going to win all of those. You know, the schedule sets up pretty well for them. Like, it looks like a schedule you could run the table in the SEC for them. And they've got the talent, so I mean we'll see. But yeah, it's definitely pointing towards that. I feel like that it's going to be national title or bust kind of for them.
It's going to be fun at media days.
Yeah,
because that's when we're really going to.
I mean, they're going to. You know, I'm trying to think when that AP poll I think it comes out before media days. I want to say it comes out like middle of July. I could be wrong, but yeah, I would assume they're going to be preseason number one. They're going to do 1 versus 2. It's going to be them one, Clemson 2.
Yeah.
That game's going to be 1 versus 2.
Be like, that reminds me of that Anthony Davis North Carolina game where North Carolina had go and get upset like 2 days before the game to ruin a preseason 1 versus 2.
Right.
I even forgot who they lost to, but they ruined it. Eat it, North Carolina. But enough Georgia talk. Elsewhere in the portal, You brought up a name that's worth keeping an eye on. Ole Miss's Jaquez Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit about Mr. Jones?
He was a freshman All-American. He played as a true frosh 2018. He's from Tuscaloosa. Last 2 years, he had 70-plus tackles. Led the Rebels in tackles last season. I think he's played both Mike and Will there for their defense. Can play Mike. So he's got a lot of experience. He played for Summerall as a true freshman. Kind of did some digging on the PFF grades. They're not, like, super great. Obviously, Ole Miss defense was very bad last year. But it looks like a thing after digging a little deeper. Lakia Henry came back for sixth season. They got another linebacker named Mo Sanogo, who I think was banged up last year. I mean, then they took a transfer from Maryland at linebacker. So it may be a numbers type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's looking for a new home officially. But from Kentucky's standpoint, if you want an inside linebacker, I don't think – like, how could you ask for anything better than this? As long as Summerall likes him, I would assume.
Yeah. Well, and I wouldn't – Lakia Henry was Summerall's biggest recruit ever. I think he actually was higher ranked than Josiah Hayes. Not higher than Wallace, but he helped get him to Ole Miss, but never coached him there. So that could be a name, too, if he enters the portal. Maybe you get – even if you don't get Jones, you could end up getting one of those guys from Ole Miss. The question is are they how willing are they to take a guy?
They have 86 scholarships right now, by my count. Like, what is the school like? What? I guess my question is, what do they have room for? I guess.
Right,
and if they only have room for a couple more. What other positions they're looking at. But really getting into this when I was starting to dig deeper, like, they have 14 scholarship wide receivers on the roster.
They don't need that many.
They have 11 total inside linebackers and outside linebackers combined. To me, that's really the issue right there. You just look at the roster or the scholarship distribution, and I understand why they had this many receivers on scholarship, but that's something that's really let them down. That's just like, that's way too many to have. I feel like you only have 4 scholarship tight ends. It just seems like they've invested way too heavily into the wide receiver position, and so you got a lot of those guys aren't even going to factor for you this season.
No,
and they're on scholarship.
Now, granted, some of them underclassmen, you got to keep them around. But
yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, there's like 8. I think like over half of them are either their first or second year in the program. You look at Cummings 1, Sanders 2, Drennan 3, Magwood 4, Crowdis 5, Lewis 6, Ross 7. So that's half are just from the last two recruiting classes. Plus, Wandell Robinson and the Michigan State transfer, Trayvon Morgan coming in. So that's 9 right there that are just new additions within a calendar year.
It's like then it comes to the point where how do you get rid of it? You know, and one of those guys is hurt, Cleveland Thomas. I don't expect him to play this year. He blew his knee out. You know? So you really get put in a tough spot, and that's where the numbers crunch comes in. And the players, they're reporting to campus over the weekend. Workouts are set to begin on Monday. So if they aren't already there, they're going to get there this week and weekend. And I would think if you were going to hop in the portal, you wouldn't show up to summer workouts. I don't know.
Well, I mean, what Mark Stoops told us too back in spring, can't remember who it was that transferred at the time in the middle of spring practice, but he pretty much said, you know, yeah, there's going to be more attrition.
There's been some. Nick Lewis was one.
Right.
But there really hasn't been that much. So can't say the same about UK baseball. But there hasn't been as much as we expected.
So, I mean, yeah, we'll see. Well, I mean, only time will tell. They're not really going to come out and tell us, oh, yeah, we're looking for this, this, and this. We'll just have to wait and see how it plays out. But, yeah, over the next month, really this stuff, they have to happen in the next couple of weeks. Like, it's June.
Yeah.
The team's back working out. If you're going to add a guy, it's got to happen pretty soon.
Yeah. Because if not, you're just wasting your time. So, but as I said earlier, we are – down to probably like what, 93 days or so, give or take, 94 days.
94 until, counting today. Now 87 from week 0, but 94 Kentucky from
football season begins. We got kickoff times like it.
We did. I love them.
Oh,
I think that's the perfect perfect first 3 weeks you could ask for.
I would maybe prefer the 7 ESPN versus 7:30 SEC Network, but I can't, you know, beggars can't be choosers. Mm-hmm. The noon opener, love it. Absolutely, yes. Love it. Because it's a great opening weekend slate, except for the noon's going to be the lighter games.
Because the games are so spread out, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday,
mm-hmm.
and then some week zero pitched in there. And then a lot of people playing FCS teams. Usually the best games are later that night. So you would like noon is like you said, it's a pretty light slate at noon. Get it out of the way. And
yeah.
Then you can go and and gorge on the rest of the buffet.
Right, right, right. You get a solid main course. You get some tailgate beers, which we're going to be able to have because the stadium's going to be packed. Get out of here, capacity restrictions. We're tailgating. We're going to the catwalk. We're getting fired up. And then once Kentucky takes Terry Bowden to town, just going to kind of hang out.
There you go.
Watch some more ball. I mean, it's going to be a great opening weekend.
And then you get the big game, though, at the primetime spot. The Missouri game, you get that 7:30, mm-hmm. get the building atmosphere for that. I just think it's very convenient.
Which, if you haven't checked out the 3-game mini packs, I know not all of the listeners are, mm-hmm. you know, going to be able to fork over a ton of money to go watch every single game. But if you're just like, you know, I'll just make it to a couple. And besides, I might have a wedding or something else planned. The 3-game mini pack. You get the Missouri game, uh-huh. and then you get one of the stinky teams. So if you pick the opener, you get to show up for the opener, and then you've got you choose between LSU, Florida, and Tennessee. Like,
yeah, if you're cool with having a different seat each game, my wife just purchased they're calling it something different, not Pocket Pass this year, but something else, something similar to Pocket Pass,
you know, Flex Pass thing or something.
Yeah, it was like $200 for the season.
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good deal for some good football.
Yeah, and then even if you, like, miss a game, you're like, oh, what, so what?
It was right.
$20 burning a hole in my pocket. No big deal. But, man, the tickets are available now. And especially with the – I mean, some of those could end up being tough tickets to come by down the road, you know?
I mean, just the LSU game is going to be crazy because they're going to travel in droves.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. Right. I mean, do you recall the last time they were here, Luckett?
07, first year of college.
I got very mad at LSU fans because I don't know if they booed during my old Kentucky home, but they did something to, like, try to upstage it. And it was like, who the hell are you? You know, they did their own thing. The one cool thing they did, they all brought for when the Rockets red flare happens during the anthem, they had, like, little poppers that make the sound, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a wild bunch. There's no doubt about it. They're going to be everywhere when that game comes, I would imagine. And looking, I know this is just a guess. Like, that South Carolina road game has been that 7:30 game every year since,
like, yeah, I can 2011. Remember. Yeah.
I think Joker was the last time. Joker Spurrier. But when you look at the slate that day, that looks like one of the lesser games. I wouldn't be surprised if that game gets, like, that 4 o'clock SEC Network.
Ooh.
Window. So, man, something to keep in mind.
It's always the worst announcing team.
Yeah.
Yeah. My gosh. And they put you on, like, Jefferson Pilot cameras that are, you know, reel to reel, shot in 20mm. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Game Time, not bad, but man, what a terrible TV product. Absolutely terrible TV product. Oh, I thought you were going to say something. You did that.
I don't want to hate on my guy, Matt Stinchcomb, man. They do what they can. They do what they can. But yeah, I know a lot of people like that 3:34 window. I don't really. It's not my favorite.
Just because it's.
I would rather almost get up early because you got to get up early anyway for that game. I would rather almost get up early, go to the game, and then if you a win, you can celebrate afterwards. You have all day to kind of celebrate it. Like, the Tennessee game was fun because it happened at noon. They won, and then it was kind of an all day celebration.
Oh, the original win. Tennessee game, the Matt Roark game.
Well, that one, and then I'm just talking about last year's Tennessee game, just for an example.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm thinking of home games. Sorry. Right, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. So, oh, I know what you're talking about. That was great.
So, like, the 3:34 game, you got to get up early, but then the game's over. By the time you get home, you're tired. It's 9 o'clock. Kind of stuck in the middle of the day. Where the night game is obviously the best because you can lead up into it all day. It's what you do all day, and then it's a night
game. I will say, though, there is something nice about an afternoon kickoff in that you get to have a pretty lengthy tailgate, and then if you win – you're not up till 1 a.m. partying to celebrate, you know, like you can go out afterwards and still not feel like death on Sunday, you know,
it just depends on what you're doing, but yeah, that's true.
But nevertheless, it's exciting. We got kickoff times. We got plans being made. We've got Vince Marrow talking, I mean, not so subtly subtweeting at Michigan for offering Dane Key, which I love too. That Vince has,
I love. Yeah, like what? Like he's supposed to not recruit him.
Oh yeah, I mean that's the whole point of them hiring him is for them to recruit those guys.
Right. That was so, that same stuff happened with Ansley when he was like at Alabama and stuff.
But you know what though, Vince has made it his. It kind of reminds me of Chris Oates, whereas I remember in that recruitment, he was just like, I'm going all in. Like, you're getting all of me. And that's kind of what he's done with Dane Key.
Yeah, and he did subtweet Ohio State regarding Lakota West offensive lineman, Tegra Shibola, I think's the name.
Yes.
He's committed to Ohio State, who came out and who talked to Dave Lackford and said he wanted to visit Kentucky. And then Ohio State quickly put the squeeze on that.
Yeah, they're like, you're not visiting there.
Right.
Or you're not coming here kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Vince, I love the subtweet. I'm sure we're going to get a lot more of it over the next month. I know the Key recruitment, I don't think it's going to be going anywhere anytime soon, but that's going to be one that gets fans very worked up very often.
I'll be interested to see how that timeline progresses throughout the year.
Because the thing is, if you're Kentucky, I don't know what's better.
Well, it's like Burton recruitment. You can't. I don't think you want to ruffle the feathers. You're just going to kind of let him do what he wants to do.
Yeah, and you also the thing about some of these other schools. So I know South Carolina is really hot and heavy with him, and you know,
I don't think they're afraid of the other schools, right? I think I get what you're. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, like I don't think they're afraid, but it's also South Carolina's kind of pitching the, well, this is what we're going to be, but you like they're kind of pitching a future thing. Whereas Kentucky, they kind of have to do that as well, just because we haven't seen the offense yet.
Right.
You know, now granted, I think if you're, you know, that's why I wouldn't be surprised to see Crowdis get a lot of reps against Louisiana Monroe, you know,
like, if the South Carolina offense looks what I think it's going to look like this year, I wouldn't think you would have to worry about Dane Key going.
Kind of want it to play out. Exactly. So, like, I do think it's going to be a long process. I mean, this isn't me. I try to
purposely. I'd have to pull up his list. I'm trying to think of who the other players are on there.
I try to purposefully not ask Ron Lemon about this because I don't want, you know, old scoop to deter me from just outside looking in. But I do think that one is going to kind of take a while to play out, and that could
end up being
for the best.
I agree. So we'll see if Michigan gets involved, but I'm pulling it up now. His top team, he had a 10. So yeah,
there were like not a lot of teams on there.
Arkansas, obviously, their offense could be fun. I could see that.
Who's their quarterback this year? Is Frank
KJ Jefferson? No, he's KJ Jefferson. He was a 4-star. He played at the end of last year. He showed some signs.
Okay,
but yeah, I mean, you have Oregon, who's been kind of flirting around Lexington for players lately. Purdue obviously has had some success, but not much recently. Virginia Tech could have a coaching change. Virginia, who I've been noticing a lot, Kentucky, and them being on some of the same lists for players. And then Michigan State, Mississippi State, maybe that offense. But yeah, you just look at the competition and you feel like Kentucky should win out there. They shouldn't be losing an in-state blue chip when they're having a lot of success to one of those schools. But, right, only time will tell.
Yeah, yeah. we'll see. This was fun. Like it is right now, we're kind of, if you couldn't tell, it's almost like we're not hesitant to give takes, but it's like there's about to be a hurricane, you know, coming.
An avalanche, yeah, of stuff. Yeah, I'm just, it feels like some commits are going to start popping here soon.
Yeah. Well, whew, it's getting exciting, Luckett. And hey, the next time we'll be able to muck it up, or I should not muck it up, yuck it up together. Just look at some ball. I'm excited to see Wolf just be screaming at folks and running around. Cohen, it's just going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see folks operate in person. And we'll be doing that this weekend. So keep your ears.
Maybe Will Levis will be hanging around or something. We can see him throw the football a little bit.
Oh, just freaking blasting it. I love too that after the Levis story comes out, turns out Bo Allen's working with that guy as well. Mm-hmm. Love it. Give me all the biomechanics.
And I did think, shout out BB and tonight. I know they reported, or it was in their interview, that he said he never really, I think it was a coach that said, in that the biomechanics guy said, you know, he's never really worked with a quarterback coach before.
Yeah.
So like this is all kind of new to him, and he's got a lot of, I think, area to grow into as a player. So that was definitely interesting to hear. I think he's still got to get stronger. I think anybody you talk to, that's what they say about him. But I still think he's a guy that can contribute for Kentucky down the road. It's just he's got to mature and grow into that body a little bit. But I did think it was interesting that now, you know, he's getting with that quarterback coach, so let's see what it does for him.
Well, and that's why Levis was kind of excited. That development was kind of exciting because he's been doing this for a year. You know, right. That's when you start to see the results. And in Allen's case, we don't need to see the results right away. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, exciting stuff. Well, June, we did it. We're here. We're in the thick of it. We're going to be in the thick of camps, recruiting over the next couple of weeks. So should have some podcast dropping a little bit earlier than normal. Hopefully we'll have something exciting to share. Either way, probably chow down some wings at the KS Bar. It's been too long.
I need that brisket in my life.
Seriously. And you need some Manscaped in your life too. Remember to use the code Roush, R-O-U-S-H, and at checkout, 20% off and free shipping ahead of Father's Day. We appreciate y'all for listening to this week's edition of Live in Personnel. We'll be back before you know it. Until then, remember, go Cats, go Krogers.